Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Extra long intro. Heidi Heaslett, our guest DJ slash co-host slash comedian extraordinaire. How are you?
Guest DJ in the building.
That's right.
Barely.
Well, you got to speak into the mic, kid.
Barely in the building. Barely in the building. Just got my mic. Barely.
First time with the microphone.
I mean, like this type of mic, you know what they say. Guys' mics are different.
Welcome, Wake Up Hollywood listeners. We're back with another week of extraordinary musicianship.
Dope.
Comedy.
Jokes.
Bullshitting. Everything in between, right?
Yeah.
How was your week? Tell me about your week.
My week was... I mean, like, what week are you not contemplating your career in Hollywood?
That's like a daily thing.
Yeah, it's like something that you're like, well, this week I really decided what I wanted to do with my career. So I had like one of those weeks, but I also had...
Is it good though?
Yeah, no, it's good.
It gets you like, I want to get back in there.
I had stand-up shows in West Hollywood with runways and glitter, and I had sad open mics, and I had writing at home, and I'm trying to think if I had anything. I had friends' birthdays, like, sort of a little socializing in there.
Oh, nice.
You know? Like,
went on a hike today?
I went on a hike today. Even though Runyon is closed, we have other hiking hills.
Other hills in Los Angeles.
I did Fryman.
Never even heard of that.
I did Fryman, and it was so funny because there were like two girls on like an Instagram model shoot, ooh, right? Like, and like, I was like, haha, take a picture of me to the photographer, and like did something very goofy. And then when I went and checked my Snapchats later, the girls were modeling for like one of my ex-boyfriend's brands.
Ooh.
So like there's some really weird goofy photo of me somewhere, like in the midst of probably my ex being like, oh, look at Stacy and Heidi. Why did Heidi make it onto my photographer's roll? So that was a very Los Angeles moment.
I had a very Los Angeles lunch last week.
Oh, you did? What was that like?
I was sitting in a sushi joint. Angie Harmon was to my left.
Oh, wow.
And Saul from Breaking Bad, Bob Odenkirk, I think his name, was to my right. And I was like, who do I talk to?
You're like...
Nobody!
You're like, I didn't even have to audition for this part.
I'm a huge Breaking Bad fan.
Really?
Did you ever watch Breaking Bad?
I didn't.
Oh, man, that's such a good show. I gotta get into it. It's so badass.
I know.
It will...
Change.
Like, it'll change your life. No. It's just like great character development.
Oh, totally.
And it's like... Turns you upside down like throughout in all six or seven seasons.
I watched all the previews for all the episodes and I was like, wow, he's really changing. No, I was like, there was great character development here. Like all the little like snippets of the episodes, I was like, wow, these guys are going through a lot.
Walter, he was a badass.
Yeah, he's,
I mean, he's
so
just a great,
great
actor. And I think like this was like the cool, he said this is the character he was born to play.
Yeah, I love
you know
that.
I mean? So like he just, you know, kind of made a huge profile in the acting world.
And I love that he's an adult saying that, not like a child being like, I was born to, and you're like, you just got born. You
well,
weren't
the
born
funny thing is
this.
A friend of mine told me about that show, and he was like, so it's the dad from Malcolm in the Middle, and he's like a, you know, he's like making drugs. And I was like, what? Like, what a weird transition to go from that like, zany kind of character
to
something so serious and kind of morbid and just...
But he
crazy.
Did it. He's a great actor,
he's
though, so he can
he's
do it, you know?
I meant to ask you last week. I know you were a guest on our show last week. But, like, how often do you write stuff?
I mean, like, I try to write every day, you know? That's awesome. Like, I really do, whether it's a Facebook status or no, but like, I really do try to write every day. And now the next thing that I'm trying to wrap my brain around is, can I write scripted? Like, so now that's like my next thing is, like, before I was like, I'm an actor, I'm not a comic. Like, comics work hard. And then, like, I started doing comedy and, like, writing my comedy. And
do you ever steer, like, now, away from what you wrote? Like, do you improvise on...
Oh, last night at my show, I tried to improvise. I tried to change the premise of a previous joke because legislation changed. And halfway through my joke, I told the audience, I don't believe this joke. I don't fuck a rich guy anymore. And I feel bad pawning this off to you. Like, I was like, I'm like, and so it was just about like birth control and like how California is giving away birth control. I used to have a joke like birth control is for when you fuck poor guys. And like, and I tried to pawn that off again, but like, I'm not sleeping with a rich guy anymore. So like halfway through my confidence broke in the joke and I just admitted it to the audience. And I was like, I'm just
like,
kidding.
I feel like I need birth control. I would have a panic attack. Like, I feel like I'm a bad stand-up comic in between songs when I play. When I play.
Oh, yeah, you're one of those musicians that's like, oh, let me say something. And then you're like, never go back to the instrument.
So I just have, like, this crazy panic attack. Like, am I saying something stupid? I'm saying something stupid. Quick, say something else. Say something else. Talk about something else. Quick! So if I was, like, off a scripted joke, man, that would be, like, veering off the road.
That's probably, like, how I would feel, like, I think I'm a rapper, and then when people are like, let me hear you rap, and then I'm like, oh, well, like, I made up this line today, and then, like, I start to say it, and I'm like, never mind, it was a funny rap. Like, I back out immediately. Like,
I think maybe it's amazing when you see, like, MCs, like, just doing improvisation on the spot.
Yeah.
That, to me, blows my mind. Like,
yeah.
When they have, like, rap battles, and you're how did you think of that?
Oh, man.
So fluently, like, it's crazy.
My favorite rap battle person is this girl named Official. She's, oh, man, she's so legit. I love Official. She just has so much rapper's, like, cadence, you know?
Does, like, she, like, heckle people?
She'd be, like, she just, like, she comes so hard.
Got that vibe.
Oh, man, it's so good. It's so good. I wish I was her.
Well, in another
Much respect to the music community.
Right. That's right.
It's hard.
No, you know what? It's hard in a different way. Like, music and comedy, they're like different dialects, I guess.
Right.
Different disciplines.
But those people always really vibe, musicians and comics.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, you know, I noticed it's like comedians, if they're sitting in a, like, comedian show and the comedian's killing, they're like, yeah, that was funny. Like, they're like, they don't enjoy
it. Yeah, they don't enjoy it.
Another comic, but a musician, if you see a musician killing it, you're like, oh my God, I think I see part of the universe right now.
Wow.
Why is that? What is that? Is it a competitive thing, or is it, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, like, comics can be very unsupportive. I have a very supportive laugh, so comics love when I'm at their thing, because I love to laugh, but I'm definitely the exception, not the rule. Like, comics don't, and you're right, and musicians are very, very supportive.
More, like, male driven in that aspect, like, the guys are,
I mean, I don't like to blame men, but let's face it, I do, so I always don't want to blame men, but then, like, the next thing that comes out of my mouth is something blaming men. I don't know what that is. I don't know if music is just, like, speaks more directly to your soul as opposed to your mind. Like, I don't know. I don't, like, know why that. Why do you think it is?
I love going to comedy shows because it's such a different... Like, I'm not thinking, oh, what's this chord progression you're doing? Or I'm not, like, analyzing the stuff. I'm going there to strictly be entertained.
Yeah.
And just laugh and be silly. And that's why I love comedy, because it's like, oh, my God, take me out of my own brain. You know what I mean?
You're like, technical to make music work.
Yeah, because science. You're always thinking about, like, you know, as a musician, you're always thinking about grooves. Are you thinking about recordings? Are you thinking about writing? Are you thinking about words? You're thinking about, you know, like, how am I going to make something great like that? With comedians, they do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, it's such a different thing when you go to a comedy show as a musician. You're like, oh, this is like vacation. I don't have to think.
I mean,
it's like, I can just get to, like, experience. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's not live music, but because it's not every night, but I go to the Dime after my sets, like, and just listen to music and vibe out. And it's a total release. And I'm in no way thinking, like, how did they put all these words together? Like, what is this?
Right.
Is this the chorus part of this song? how, like, you know, I'm just vibing. So, yeah.
That's awesome. But you know what? But, like, both songwriters and comedians, there's a discipline with writing. It's totally different. But I'm, like, envious of, like, how comedians just, like, put so much material into such little amounts of time.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, in a 5-minute set, how many jokes would you say? Like, it can range, I know.
But I mean,
like,
it can range.
On average, maybe like 20 jokes in.
I don't know. It just, it really depends on what type of comic you are, because if you're doing one-liners, if you're doing stories. So that really depends.
Like, Mitch Hedberg would do probably like 50 jokes in 5 minutes.
Right.
But maybe a Seinfeld would do.
That's four like jokes, asking how many words are in a song. Like, yeah, that's true. Very. That's
true. See? Very. I'm out of the game. I'm out of the game. I'm already on the sidelines, Heidi.
How many words would you say are in a song on average? You're like, very different. Either that or I just don't know. So it sounds better to be like.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, like, Eddie was telling me, he's like, yeah, you can't really teach comedy. I'm like, how do you learn? He's like, well, you just have to go out there and just do it. I'm like, oh my God. You know, it's like, that's terrifying. Like, for a musician to, like, never play and then just go out there and, like, okay, play your song. It's like, that would be a nightmare.
I mean, I guess you can't teach comedy, but you also, like, kind of can. Like,
is it observe? Is that the thing?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think you can figure it out. Like, I also think that people are, I don't think that means you're going to be funny, but I mean, I think that you might be able to pick some, like, you can't. Just in the way you can't teach me basketball, but if I go to the court every day, like, my free throw is going to get better. Do you know what I'm saying?
My new passion is I'm going to teach you basketball. It looks like our special guest has arrived, Mr. Anthony Starble. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
The studio audience loves you already, man. So let's just jump right in. So Anthony and I did a show maybe like 6-7 months ago, maybe longer.
Oh, man, time. I have no concept of it.
And Heidi, I'm an old man in this music world. Like, no. I've been gigging for a long time. It takes a lot to, like, and I hate to be, like, arrogant, but it takes a lot to, like, impress me. But this kid blew my mind. I mean, you got songs, you got a voice, you can write, and you can play your ass off. So I'm so excited to have Anthony on as a guest. Let's just jump right in. What got you into music, and what was the biggest reason? What was the moment that the bug hit you?
Well, it came back to elementary school, like, when we had arts electives, and, you know, we had like rotating music and art and PE, and, you know, I dreaded PE, but music was, like, just a thrill.
You're like, don't make me play Punch Ball, please.
I know. But my music teacher reached out to my mom and was like, you know, he's showing a passion. You should think about putting him in an instrument. So my mom just sat me down and was like, hey, you know, how about piano? And I was like, sure. And then I just became completely fixated on it. You know, I would say I got the bug as a, early. You know, early.
So
yeah,
how
yeah.
old were you? Like 10, 11?
I started 9, yeah, wow. Fourth grade. And so, just playing classical music just was it for me. You
so
know?
You wow. see a lot of people get burned out. Like, I started with classical. I actually did get burned out for a little bit on piano, but then I came back to the Beatles.
Yeah.
Like, were you just, like, fascinated with classical music at the time? Just, was it, like, ugh.
It was it, yeah. I wasn't even listening to anything else. Like, it was everything that I was, like, not only listening to, but, you know, performing and studying. My teacher was definitely one of those old school teachers who had, like, her classical technique down. But, no, she didn't have to discipline me because I would practice. Like, I would go home and just, like,
I'm going to show her.
Yeah. Well, you know, I may not have practiced what I was supposed to every time, but I at least sat down at the piano probably for, like, 2 or 3 hours a day, you know? As
wow.
a child.
Wow. And it clearly showed lazy. Because you
Yeah,
noticed.
He's a badass. You'll see. You'll
I'm very
see.
Excited.
We'll get to
I
it.
I can't
in
wait
second.
To be wooed.
So who were some of your favorite composers that you played? And then how did it kind of leverage into you writing songs?
Interesting. I mean, I was always a fan of the schmaltzy stuff. So I loved Chopin. I loved Brahms. I loved sort of early Debussy and Ravel. Very, like, pretty.
Like the Romantics.
The Romantics, yeah. My teacher wanted me to play Bach, and I was like, no,
like,
let me just play,
like,
this love song.
But he's, like, the pop master. He was, like, the first pop star.
I know. He totally was.
He like, invented it. Like, you know, a lot of people don't realize, like, Bach invented pop music. If it wasn't for Bach, you know.
Because it's, like, the basis of everything?
Yeah, it's the basis of everything. Like, every kind of, like, musical theory is based on things that he did.
Really?
On a lot of levels. And then, like, it changed with, you know, 20th Century and all that. Anthony's like, oh, man, seriously? I feel like I'm in music school.
I know, but this, it's so crazy because when you're, like, not in music school, you're like, wow, so Bach.
Well, well, it's funny. It's funny to hear you say that because in no way could you hear, like, Rihanna's work and Bach's, like, Prelude and C, you know, and remotely like, oh, think they were the same or derivative of
each other. Well, it's evolved. It's definitely evolved. A roller coaster. So when did you know that you wanted to pursue this as a career or go to school? You went to CalArts, I think, right?
I went to CalArts, yeah. I got my bachelor's degree. Yeah, good school.
He's a serious cat.
You know, I was... You know, I came from a small town in Colorado, so I didn't quite know what it meant to make it in the music industry. So I was like, I should probably go to school, right? And I was dreaming of, you know, Los Angeles, and the warmth and the industry. And so I really
don't want to be in the snow playing the blues.
No. Oh, have you ever tried to play piano after you've been in the snow?
Dude, your fingers are so cold.
They don't move.
Yeah.
They
don't move. Especially the tips. You're just like, why am I doing this to myself? Like,
I know.
The weird thing with guitar
is, why are you
like,
playing pianos in the snow, guys?
Well, sometimes, you know, you have to go.
Oh, really?
You have to go, I don't know, perform or something, and it's freezing outside.
Yeah.
And you step up, you go inside, and your fingers don't move. You know, it takes like hours sometimes for them to warm up.
Really?
Yeah, it's scary.
To be warm to be able to play them in a piano sense.
Or else your fingers don't move, yeah.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Wow.
With guitar, I find that my hands heat up a little bit more, faster. But with piano, I feel like they're so exposed.
Mm.
And it's just like, you're not moving in the same way. It's not as like... I mean, it is, but it's not. Yeah, does that make sense?
I don't know. I haven't really studied guitar. I'm definitely a self-taught guitarist, and I avoid it at all.
You're like, I can do this so well. Let me stick to this.
Exactly.
Well, let's get to one of your live performances. What are you going to play us first?
Sure. I'm going to play you this track, With Me Today. It was my first cut, and it just is one of my favorite songs I've ever written. So,
all right, here's Anthony Starr. With Me Today.
Don't go when you leave, half of me is left in our home. Can't survive in the silence when I'm alone. No embrace to be safe in, barely holding my own. It's a high price that you're making me pay. I've given you my life, kept it up long enough. I've made up my mind. Ain't no more starting over, it's where I'm drawing the line. You can't make me. Make me follow. I can't make you stay. Won't be with you tomorrow if you're not with me today. It's been a good run. Won't be easy to leave because you're the one. But it takes two to make it work, yeah. I'm done. I feel you still always will, but it's killing me what we become. You can't make me fall, though I can't make you stay. Won't be with you tomorrow if you're not with me today. Make me follow. I can't make you stay. Won't be with you tomorrow if you're not with me today. Ooh. make me follow. I can't make you stay. Won't be with it tomorrow. If you're not with me today, you know you can't make me follow. I can't make you stay. Won't be with you tomorrow. If you're not with me today, won't be with you tomorrow. If you're not with me today, you with me today.
That was money.
So
seriously.
Good.
Oh my
wow.
God. Ridiculous.
That's so
studio
crazy.
Audience is a little late, but they are waiting to applaud you.
That is so crazy. You're so good.
Isn't he awesome? I told
wow.
you.
Wow. Like guys, that was like actually live. Like I'm like, it's like that was really live. Like there's just you just did that.
Live art. That's
that was
like
really live art that just happened.
So let's talk about the song. I love the song.
Oh,
I love
thank
the
you.
Gospel influence.
Yeah.
All the stuff you're doing in the left hand. But let's talk about what was the song about. Tell us the story.
Yeah, well, that song I sat down to write, you know, Sam Smith was just becoming really popular, and I was sort of studying Sam Smith, and I was like, okay, what is it about this guy that everybody loves? Oh, I don't know about that.
Definitely.
But I sort of modeled this sort of, you know, I tried to get something, like you said, gospel-y and just simple, lyrically as well. So, you know, I sort of, I went through this moment of like, is, you know, it's about a relationship. It's about that moment when you realize, you know, if you're not going to be present with me here today, then I'm going to be gone. You know, it's sort of about giving somebody time and affection and just yourself. You know, because so easy with time, people become stagnant and become just
right.
used to going through the motions. So that's sort of what that song is about. It's about that moment of like stepping up and being giving that person an ultimatum and being like, you know, if you're not with me,
look at Heidi.
I'm
Heidi's
so
in
deep
love.
In this. I'm so deep in this right now. I'm like, tell me more. Yeah, if you're not here
if,
with me,
if you're not going to be here with me, then I'm not going to be with you tomorrow.
Right?
You know?
No, it's awesome. It's do you think that was one of like the catalysts for you to write? Was this like going through relationship turmoil?
Yeah, I mean, I
life turmoil. Just to be,
I certainly think I'm an emotional child for sure. I feel like you have to be when you approach music, and I think that's why I bonded with it so quickly. Is I was it was an outlet for to be expressive, you know, which
right.
I didn't really have, and I certainly am a lover and a deep lover. So you know, with that comes its depth with understanding people's emotions and sort of like skepticism on the whole love and relationships thing. So
skepticism over here. Let me know when you need any of that.
So
I have all
push
of
the
that.
So yeah, a lot of my the tracks that I write for myself as an artist, I like to feel like I'm, you know, really really going for it emotionally. So my music tends to be pretty over the top and in your face with, you know, the emotional
content. I
love content.
That. That was one of the first things I, you know, like, when I hear a lot of artists, you know, it's, they don't, like, throw it down to me. Mm-hmm. Like, especially a lot of new artists, to me, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I see what you're doing. It's cool. Yeah. But, like, I heard this kid, and I'm like, holy shit, this guy's throwing it all on the table, like, boom. How you like me now? Right?
Right.
But that's how it needs to be. That's,
yeah.
I mean, it's like, I'll leave it all out there, and it's like, you kill it. You kill it with just the... I can hear you just playing the piano without the vocals.
So
but
wild.
But then when you add the vocals, it's like, holy shit.
And it's so wild that this, like, this was live. Like, this isn't some pre-recorded mixed
situation. See the show
situation.
You get to guest...
I know. I'm so lucky. I feel so lucky.
See? It's like, and it's like healing. You're like... Oh, all those wounds. You're like, I feel like, I feel
well,
spirit.
I don't know about all the wounds. That's not all the wounds.
That's a whole other show.
That's a whole other show, but this is definitely some high-grade Neosporin.
One of the coolest parts of interviewing artists, like for me, like I wanted to ask you this question a while ago, and I don't know why I haven't, but who are some of your biggest influences?
Well, this is a little bit cheesy, but the first person that I ever heard do sort of like that pop piano thing that I was really inspired by was this dude, Jim Brickman. Do you know him?
No.
He had a bunch of like popular stuff in the early 2000s, like really cheesy, like your mom bought his record. And he's like this handsome guy, like chiseled like face, brown hair, stuff like this, you know. Girl, I love you and you're beautiful to me. You know, stuff like that.
Oh, I love it.
It's like
great.
Bruce Hornsby, but not as cool as Bruce Hornsby.
Oh, yeah, Bruce Hornsby's bad.
But more like adult contemporary. But my mom took me to see his concert and I was like, yeah, I want to sing and I want to write songs. But, you know, I definitely in high school got into the great piano playing songwriters like the Billy Joels and the Elton Johns and had my fix of them.
But it all started with?
It all started with Chopin and Jim Brickman. Yes.
What a combination.
Have you ever tweeted at Jim Brickman to see if maybe you guys can collab?
You know,
do you
never
think he's busy these days?
You know, a part of me thinks he's going to tour forever and cater to that.
Is
to
he
that
still
audience?
Touring?
Like, you know, I honestly don't know. Like, my interests have gravitated towards different arenas.
I think you should reach back out. I think you should reach back out.
And say, hey, what's
hey,
going on?
Hey, you start you and Chopin.
You and Chopin.
Yeah. Like, why would you not reach out to him and say that?
I should,
just
you
to
know,
get it off your chest.
I barely understand how Twitter works, but that's a good, you
what?
Know, that's a good project. That's
you're
a
like
good
the first like young cat.
You know, I'm the
know
worst.
Know
you know, I'm the worst. I have so many friends that help me through it and are
like
dude, I haven't seen you on Twitter in a month. But you know what? I do have it linked from Facebook and Instagram to Twitter.
That's what I do.
So, but you know what? But that's not a way to build Twitter followers. Yeah, it's just
I don't do that. I think the audiences are different and I don't like to link them. I like to cater a little. Bit.
And I think that's what the pro
what are you supposed to do.
That's what the pro millennials are doing.
Yeah,
it's like, I'd rather just like make music and not worry about the other.
See,
shit.
Yeah, that's I'm with you, Nikki.
Like, it's so tough. I hate. I'm like link it all together, send one thing out, and then it's like out.
Yeah,
it's out there.
It's like I just did something really cool, and I'm after it's done, I'm like, fuck, I forgot to take a picture of it. You
don't
know?
Worry, I Snapchatted you.
Social media police.
Yeah,
you know how that works. Oh shit! I hit it three times, man. All right. Let's get to another performance. Enough of the shenanigans.
Yeah.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. What are you going to play us next?
Cool. I'm thinking about doing something a little bit lighter. This is like a happy, cute tune. It's called Old Fashioned Lover. It's about like wanting somebody to just be old-fashioned and hold your hand, take you to the movies, you know, that kind of thing.
Old school.
Yeah.
I've been needing something lately. Seems like it's too hard to find. I've been running in circles, just wasting my time. Men don't want to pay attention. Women never want to try. We all spin on an axis of highs and goodbyes. Well, I'm not going crazy. This is how it is. When did we get lazy? That's not how it was back then. Ooh, I want an old-fashioned lover. The kind that's not afraid to reach for your hand. Somebody who will discover the values of integrity and respect. Some do it, the others. I want an old-fashioned lover instead. Well, I feel like you could be that someone. It's magical when you're around. And these moments so timeless ain't easily found. The whispers in between your kisses, they become my favorite sound. Didn't know I could love, but you're showing me how. I'm not going crazy, this is how it is. And I know you feel the same thing. Let's stay forever, be good. Come be my old-fashioned lover. not afraid to reach for my hand. Somebody who will discover the values of integrity and respect. See, I'm through with the others. Come be my old-fashioned lover instead. Oh, this I can promise. I love you as long as I live. 'Cause I understand that a man only gets what he gives. I'll be your old-fashioned lover, the kind that's not afraid to reach for your hand. Somebody who will discover the values of integrity and respect. I'm through with the others. I'll be your old-fashioned lover. We can be old-fashioned lovers instead.
Yeah.
Woo. Dope.
I think the whole studio audience is doing this the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thanks, studio audience.
They love a good song. You know, it just reaches them, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of gospel influence. Mm. Tell us about how that came seeping into your music.
You know what? Honestly, I have no idea. I think it's. I honestly have no idea. I think
I was born a poor black child.
No, I wish
actually,
I.
He's white and he's from Denver.
I wish I had a story, some story about like you know going to a black church and then I saw the light or something. But I really don't. You know, I grew up singing in choir and chamber choir stuff like that, and then all of a sudden, like, I sort of discovered that I had this soulfulness to my voice, and I started listening to sort of more gospel music and just exploring what it could be. And then, you know, it's informed my writing so much that I decided that, you know, it's sort of my
well,
thing.
Well, cool. You're doing kind of like what Ray Charles was doing. It's like you're doing kind of like old school gospel chords, but you're putting kind of like pop lyrics. And
right.
Making it like for the masses. You know
yeah.
What I mean? It's kind of throwback, but it's like it's very in right now too. Like Adele, Sam Smith, they're all doing
right.
A lot of the same stuff. So
right,
it's super refreshing. You know, it's like when you see a new artist like you, so like music's gonna be just fine.
Yeah, I love new artists. I mean, like I think it's interesting when people will be like, we have everybody. I'm like, we don't. Like,
no.
There's like we don't have everybody. There's like so nice and refreshing to be like, oh wow, hey look, there's this guy that I didn't know can sing and play piano and now he's in front of my face, like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, you know, like, it's awesome to see. It's like you had no idea, like I knew who was coming to like be the guest, but you had no idea, and like your whole body language has just been like, oh, this
yeah,
just
it's
feels
like so,
good.
Yeah, it's so nice. Like, you're like, oh, I don't have to be on guard. Okay, this is fun.
Yeah.
I can just, like, sit and get, like...
I can just enjoy this.
I can just, like, get treats.
Music.
Like, oh, this is, like, so fun. I don't have to guard the house. Like, it's really, yeah. No, very relaxing.
Soothing.
Great.
It's good
soothing.
Stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Where do you play out? Like, where have you been playing out? Do you play with a full band? Do you play solo?
Yeah. You know, it really depends on the show. I certainly love playing solo. It's, you know, I started writing music on my own, and I didn't really play with bands until I was in college, like halfway through college. Since I went to a performing arts high school, so there were tons of musicians.
You can
and
say
creative
fame,
folk.
It's okay.
It was, you know, it was quite similar to fame. There were like people, you know, rehearsing things in the cafeteria and
right.
like dance routines in the hall, and there were some pianos that were like littered around the school.
That's awesome.
On wheels. There was this one kid who would play like the ice cream truck song, like every what is that called? The 15-minute window
that
of time.
Guy got
between
oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He was gonged a little bit.
Yeah,
no, yeah, but. So I forgot what the question was. I got so excited talking about my high school and
the bands, piano playing you play track.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
good, Heidi.
So nice. If it's a bigger show, I'll definitely play with the band. And I like the band sound, but I think there's so much that I put into my arrangements at the piano that, you know, solo, I think, is where I definitely shine.
Well, it's cool because it's like you need, like, you get so intimate when you play solo.
Yeah.
But with a band, it's like you can kind of, like, rest on the others a little bit. It's like you're, like, making room for the others to, like,
totally.
Fit in, you know what I mean?
So. Totally. But see, I don't like to do that. I'm a control freak.
See, I need both. I need, like I'll play a bunch of, like, solo shows for a while, and then I'm like, I miss being, like, on stage with a bunch of people making music together.
Yeah, there is magic in that, you know? Absolutely.
Like, I need both, though. And it's like if I do a lot of shows on the road with the band, I'm like, God damn, I can't wait to do a solo acoustic right. show. It's just me, and I can just run amok, right?
And you can do whatever you want and change stuff up on the fly.
That's
yeah.
right.
There's something. There's some definitely power to playing acoustic. But, yeah, there's something about the energy of that backing band, and it's like it's got you. You know, it's caressing yeah. you. And it's making sure that you're not gonna that you're just gonna shine.
Yeah.
Especially if you have great players, which you know
that makes all the difference.
All the yeah. difference.
It's like, man, if you have good players, it's like, woo.
Is this like stand up versus improv? I'm trying to figure out how to
play. Very much so. So you just did a big show at the Hotel Cafe, but what other venues are you
right.
playing in Los Angeles?
I used to do Room 5 a lot before it closed.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, well it didn't close. God. They're rebranding it, so they're not doing like singer-songwriters anymore. They're trying to turn it into like a jazz room, is what
oh,
I hear.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, that was definitely like where I came up and like where my first like.
That's a great venue. I love that.
Great venue. That's definitely they gave me the most support like early on when I was playing live. I've done like the Wits End, Bootleg, Hotel. You know, anywhere and everywhere where I can, you know, make a splash.
Share my gifts.
How
and where the sound is good.
How do people
good.
Know yeah. where you're going up if you don't use the social media?
Oh, I use it.
You use it.
I use it. So if you are only follow me on Twitter, I'll post it on Facebook or Instagram, and it will link to Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, so don't you fret.
It's out there. It's out there.
I'm also old-fashioned. I do email. Like, I do email blasts.
Oh, wow.
And I'm good with
wow.
that. Yeah. So
it's great. That's the part of music that, you know, a lot of people don't realize. You have to be a promoter. It's like you yeah. really have to push your stuff.
It doesn't come natural for me. I have to.
It didn't come natural for me either. It's like one thing that you just, it's like a strength. It's like, yeah. It becomes like a muscle. It's mm-hmm. like you have to. But dude, you got to be flexing that muscle, man.
Totally.
Shit is so good.
Yeah, people will enjoy it.
Well,
yeah.
let's see they some studio it, stuff. Sure. Well, like, what are you going to play us
totally.
First? And tell us a little backstory about whatever we're playing.
Yeah, I was thinking I'd play the title track from my most recent record called We Need to Be Loved. It's definitely the song that I'm known most for on the internet because I got a big placement with it on Pretty Little Liars.
Oh,
and
it
was special because I got to be on camera
oh,
playing
awesome.
It. Yeah, so people like, you know, they see what I look like. They hear the song, you know.
That's so cool.
I was wearing like a little bow tie, so I looked really, you know, dolled up and cute. And So this song, yeah, and then I just knew that from that moment it needed to be the title track on my record, you know, so.
Track one.
Are we
Here
getting
it comes.
Into it?
Yes,
Here it comes.
We need to be
okay.
loved.
Okay, do I mute them?
To pull you up above the earth, well, I will lift you up to show you just how much you're worth. 'Cause we need to be loved. So we need to be loved. If I you here, I wear your heart just like a crown, and if it beats for me, then I would never put it down.
So what was that like? Like when you were putting that song and the instrumentation together, what was your vision of like kind of like carrying it out?
Yeah, I guess I had the vision of sort of like that overlapping, we need to be left and the someone else, and sort of growing to that moment of where it's all overlapping. So I was visioning a lot of vocals. I was envisioning sort of like this, you know, parted drum part, and I wanted it to be really thick.
Right.
So, but you know, not give it away too soon. So it's interesting hearing that record. I mean, I did that in 2014, and just like how much my writing has changed since then. You know, but it still feels very fresh and young, and like.
Well, the weirdest thing about making records for me that I find, it's like you're gonna hear it 5 years later, and it's going to sound completely different.
Yeah.
10 years later, it's going to sound different.
Like, yeah.
It's just going to change over time, even though it's just like you documented this one thing. It's
totally.
Well, because we grow as artists. Yeah. So you're like, oh, that's where I was at that moment. And like, yeah.
That song definitely was one of those songs I sat down and just like, I wrote that like little, we need to be loved. And then I just didn't know where the song was going to go, but I just knew I loved playing that little lick so much.
Yeah, that little piano flourish thing. That was tight, man.
For a while I was into
flurry.
Doing like little ditties like that at the piano for like hours a day.
I can hear the Bruce Hornsby influence when you do stuff like that. He does that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
It's the best, dude. The best.
I love that you guys know where everything comes from. I'm like, that sounds nice. And I don't know. I don't know that.
And you know what? You don't need to.
I don't. It's not my job to know. It's my job to enjoy. Exactly.
It's kind of like, that's kind of like a magician, like showing you a trick. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
But if you saw like how he did it, you're like, oh. But you know what? The right magicians, even when they show you like, this is how I do the trick. You know, even that when it's part of that, you're still like mystified. Like, whoa, he's one of those cats.
Right. So good.
So where can people find you? Like online?
Yeah.
Definitely let them know.
Yeah.
Right now.
Absolutely.
Do it.
Yeah, quick. No. Online, at all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm pretty active. More so on Instagram and Facebook than Twitter. But like we've established, my Twitter is linked up, y'all. But yes, I've got a website where you can join a mailing list. And in terms of purchasing my music, definitely iTunes is the way to go. But if you're one of those people that streams music and wants to put it on a playlist, yes, I'm on Spotify,
Apple
Music.
What's your website?
AnthonyStarble.com, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y-S-T-A-R-B-L-E com.
You even got a jingle. I love it. Where are you playing next? Are you playing anywhere around town? Or are you?
I'm playing a showcase on the 27th at... Where is it? It's somewhere downtown. I don't know the exact venue.
Find it somewhere in downtown.
What is it called? Oh, man. Yeah. If you follow me on the social media, I'll definitely be posting
updates
about that.
Make it like a scavenger hunt. Just yeah. make it exciting.
I've already just sent him a friend request.
Oh, awesome.
So
I'm to sleep every night?
I'm active on the social media following.
She will be cracking the whip. Cracking the whip.
Perfect.
Jeepers. Well, let's play another studio track. What's the next track you're going to play us?
Let's see.
I can't get enough of your music, man. I'm like, let's play something else. Come on.
Well, the last two tracks on this record are really heavy. So, should we just do it? Should we go super heavy?
Not? Let's go heavy.
Let's play track number 3, which is called Oh Father. So we'll just go through everyone's daddy issues.
Oh, great. This one's for me. Okay, here we go.
Oh Father, what will you make of me? I am not a disease. I am not a disease. Oh, Father, what will you make of me? I am not a disease. I am not a disease. I can't love in the same ways as you. I am faithful and honest and true. Dad, I know you. I wish this were Father, what will you make of me? I am not a disease. I am not a disease. Oh, Father, what will you make of me? I am not a disease. I am not a disease. Oh, Father.
fitting, Nikki.
That was awesome and powerful. Anthony Starble, one more time, where can people find you?
They can find me on the internet. It's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, website, anthonystarble.com, SoundCloud, Facebook.com/Anthony-Starbull. That's a little confusing.
Ooh.
Anthony-Starbull. you know, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, anywhere where you consume media, I will be.
I like it. Yeah. That's a good little slogan. Heidi Heaslett.
Yeah.
Thank you for being our special
co-host
tonight.
Co-host.
You feel a little more love in the heart. Like I could see it.
Right?
A little twinkle in your eyes.
So sweet.
That drive home, you'd be like, man.
Wow.
I got serenaded to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So uplifting.
It was good. It was
special good. Treat.
See, this is why I like doing this show for artists like that.
Right.
It's like, oh, boom. You know what I mean?
Boom.
It's like, shit.
Treat.
Shit.
Well, it's cool for us, too. We get to be in this room and sing our music into the world. We don't know who's
just
listening,
out,
but I just, yeah, it's awesome to think about the who could potentially be listening. I mean, that's...
Well, there are people listening, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Get this guy's music now. Heidi, where can people find you real quick?
Oh, I'm at the Redhead Heidi on Instagram. Twitter, I'm Redhead Heidi because some chick already had
it. Sound bitter?
My real name is Heidi Heaslett. The Redhead Heidi will lead you in the right direction.
Well, on behalf of Heidi and I and Anthony, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much.
Yeah.